You can take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was reminded that it was 25 years ago that we started doing family camps up here, 1991. So this is the 25th year of family camps. I'm sure if I was more into that kind of stuff, we'd make a bigger deal of it. But it's sort of significant, as Bob shared. A lot of you guys that look around the room, many of you have been raised here at camp. And I mean, Joey met his wife here at camp when they're about 5 years old or something. So, but there's been a lot of incredible things. There's also been a lot of things that have changed in the 25 years of doing family camp. But the one thing that hasn't changed is God's Word. In fact, God's Word has not changed since it was originally written. When you think of the Bible, it's the most incredible work that there is. Originally, Genesis through Deuteronomy were written down by Moses about 1600 A.D., somewhere in that neck of the woods. The New Testament was penned back about 2,000 years ago. How many things have changed just in our lifetime? You know, when I was in high school, they were just starting to use computers. And it was brand new. It was just something that nobody knew anything about. Now look at how much things have changed since then. You know, the Bible still is the Word of life, and it is, and it will continue to be. It is always applicable. It's always true, regardless of culture, regardless of language, regardless of the era in which people are living. The Bible is true right now. And we'll be looking at what the Bible is throughout this week, but it's just such a fantastic privilege to have Bibles in our hands and to be able to read and understand the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a very foundational verse of Scripture for sure. In verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Now, those five words in the English, given by inspiration of God, in the Greek is one word, and it's the word theopneustos. So this reads, all Scripture theopneustos, or all Scripture God breathed. So when we approach the Word of God, well, the Word of God is God breathed. Now, we can certainly understand that the Word of God came from God. And that's implied in the English. It was given by inspiration of God. We know it came by revelation. It's God's Word. Men of God, over many centuries, wrote down the revelation that God gave them. So it's the Word of God. One author, many writers. The Word of God is God-breathed. It's the Word of God. But there's a terrific truth associated with this. All Scripture, God breathed. Sometimes to be able to understand different words or different phrases in the Bible, you go to its previous usage. And this one has particular impact. We're going to come back to 2 Timothy if you want to put one of your little tags there or your finger or whatever. We'll be back there. But let's go to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. All Scripture, God breathed. Now, we know that that's a figure of speech because God does not have breath. You could imagine if he literally had breath, what would happen to us if he coughed? Whoa. All Scripture, God breathed, is a figure of speech. Well, to understand that figure, you can go to other uses and see some of its impact. And Genesis chapter 2 is a fantastic example of that. It says in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man, this is Adam, of the dust of the ground. That's referring to Adam's body. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, what? The breath of life, and man became a, what? Living soul. This certainly is the first use in the Bible of God breathing, of God breathed. See, what did he do? He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and the result was man became what? A living soul. There's a great lesson here. When God breathes his life into something, it becomes alive. See, God's word is living. God's word is alive. God breathed his word. Look at Job. The book of Job, chapter 33. This is the book that a lot of people in the United States need, is they need a job. Job 33. It says in verse 4 of Job 33, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me, what? Life. When God breathes, it produces life. God put his very life into his word. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, this is not a dead word. This is not just some academic exercise. This isn't just some, you know, collection of historical records or a bunch of things that people have made up. This is the Word of God that lives, that abideth forever. You know, it lived back in the days of Moses. It lived in the days of Jesus Christ. It's alive now because God's Word is life. It's alive. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 again, all Scripture God breathed and is what? Profitable. See, we're approaching the Word of God is. Well, the Word of God is God breathed, and the Word of God is profitable. Boy, how profitable God's Word is. You can keep reading and you see what it's profitable for. First and foremost, it's profitable for doctrine. You know, the word doctrine in many translations is the word teaching. You know, it's the Word of God that teaches us. It's the Word of God that's the rule book. It's the Word that is the Word of life so that we can understand life. You know, there's a guy that lives close to us in Stockton, and he is really a great guy to call when anything breaks. You know, like if your computer has trouble or if your car has trouble or other things. But, you know, one of his great attributes is that he, unlike most other people, when he gets something, he reads the manual. How often do you do that? I don't. Put it in the box, you know. But he does. He sits down and he reads the manual. And as a result, he kind of knows how things work. You know? You know, the Word of God is profitable for teaching, right teaching, for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. Boy, praise God that those two things are mentioned. Because certainly not all of us get it right all the time, even when we know what's right. But God gives reproof and correction to help us get back to being on the ball, to being back right. And then it says, for instruction in righteousness, or it's instruction in right living would be a wonderful understanding of that. You know, God's word teaches us how to live rightly. How valuable is that? You know, how many people don't know what the Word of God says, and as a result, they sit in darkness. And then things go wrong, and they don't know how to fix them. You know, they have pain and misery and suffering. But God's Word is profitable. You know, I would say by the action of most people that people think that the Word of God's good for nothing. And I say that because they don't read it. They ignore it. You know, amongst this wonderful group, a lot of people are very well educated. I see many of you that have developed skills through college and even advanced degrees. How much of the Word of God did they teach you? I think in many schools it's basically banned. You know, I mean, you know, people can be very, very humanly intelligent and be dumber than dirt because they don't know the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is the instruction book for life. Man, how valuable is God's Word? Look at Psalm chapter, or the 119th Psalm, please. Man, instruction in right living, how to live rightly. Psalm 119. I think it'd be hard for us to approach this topic of the Word of God is without going to Psalm 119 throughout the week. So it's mentioned in every verse. But look at Psalm 119, verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in," where? Heaven. Forever. You know, God's word lives and abides. How long? Forever. You know, it's eternal word. It's always right. It's always good. We're not going to wear it out. It's not going to get old. It's not going to become passé. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This word settled means to be raised up as the standard. That's this word settled. You know, in heaven, God's word is raised up as the standard of life. That's the standard. See, it's by which you know what's right, by which you know what to do. Look at Proverbs, or Psalm 33 first, while we're in the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 33. Look what it says in verse 5 of Psalm 33. Oh, verse. Did I say verse 5? It's verse 4. Verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is" what? Right. Now that was cool. The word of the Lord is what? Right. I think one thing that basically all humans share is that we don't like being wrong. You know, you ever just been dead wrong? You know, it's kind of embarrassing, or maybe, you know, can be painful. It can, you know, a lot of things. I think we all enjoy being right. Want to know what's right, want to do what's right, want to say what's right. Well, the Word of God is what? Right. That is very cool. "And all his works are done in truth." And then verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Man, you stop and think about it. God created the heavens and the earth by his word. You know, in Genesis it talks about, "And God said, let there be light, and there was" what? Light. God spoke it into being. How powerful is that? How powerful is God's word? It says again, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them," and here it is again, "by the breath of his" what? "Mouth." And the host refers to all the living. See again, by the breath, God breathed things alive, the host. And then it says in verse 9 of Psalm 33, "For he spake, and it was" what? "Done. He commanded, and it stood" what? "Fast." You know, that's the great lesson, or one of the great lessons is in Genesis chapter 1. You know, "And God said, and it was" what? "So." "And God said, and it was" so. You know, when God says, it's so. Like it says here. "He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And then verse 11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands" how long? "Forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations." And that certainly includes us. You know, this is not just a bunch of rules and regulations for life, but this is the thoughts of God's heart. You know, it's his heart towards us. You know, the man who wrote down most of the Psalms by revelation was King David, and he's the one in the Bible that's called a man after God's own heart. And man, when you read about David, you know, in Psalms or in other places, he was all about the Word, because the Word is his heart. It's God's heart, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know, we want to get the Word of God in our hearts so that it lives, so that it becomes us. That's what we're here at camp for, is to get the Word of God, and that the Word of God lives. And as the Word of God lives, then we start to see the power of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I skipped something. Let's go to Proverbs. Bob was talking about things being peaceably quiet after 10 and before 7 for, he mentioned our young people and then for the old people. Yeah. Sometimes I, you know, my coordination and see my Bible is a little less good as it was when I was younger. Proverbs 22, but the word's still true. It says in verse 17, bow down thine ear, Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a bummer if you keep them. No, if you keep the word, you can't do all the fun stuff, right? No. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them with thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I make known to thee the certainty of the words of what? Truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Look at that. God gave his word so that we might know its certainty. You know, the truth of it. That's something that you can stand on. Something that works. Something that's right. Man, you get God's word and you start applying it and you start seeing the results. I don't know of anything more exciting that I've ever experienced in my whole life than seeing God work as I believe the word. It's just fantastic. And that's what we're here to do this week. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that's the word. That's how grace and peace is multiplied unto you. You know, grace and peace are absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, how great is the grace of God, and how terrific is it to know the peace of God? But they come from the word. You know, there's a little section in 1 Corinthians that many of you are familiar with where it says, now abides believing, hope, and love. Remember that? You know, three great realities that abide now. And then it says, but the greatest of these is what? Love. You know, even greater than that is the word. Because believing comes from believing what? The word. Where does the hope come from? The word. And where does the love of God come from? The word. See, the word, we make the statement, the word is the greatest of God's works. You know, it's from the word that believing comes, that hope comes, that love comes, that grace and mercy come. As it says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So when you get the knowledge of God's word, it covers all of life and godliness. I mean, you know, how huge is that? Is there any part of your life that is accepted from the word? No. You know, the word of God covers it all. And then it goes on in verse 4 and says, whereby, by this knowledge of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious, what? promise. You know, it'd be great if God gave us promises. It'd be fantastic if he gave us great promises, but exceeding great and precious promises. You know, if you put this together, you know, the word covers all of life and godliness. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. There is a promise of God in the Word of God that meets every one of human beings' needs in any category of life. Now, you might not know it, might not have found it yet. And that's where study and seeking and learning and being taught come in. But throughout the Word of God are exceeding great and precious promises. And as Bob mentioned, maybe some of us came here to camp with needs this week. Well, I'll tell you one thing that will assist all of us is find the promise of God that meets your particular need. You know, I remember back in many years ago, there was a time where a number of different people came to me and they were all desiring to have children. And so one of the things that I did at that time was I just started looking through the Word for promises about having children. You know, some people were having difficulties having children. Some people wanted to have, you know, children, hadn't had them yet. But boy, there's exceeding great and precious promises in the Word concerning that specific part of life. And found them. There's great, exceeding great and precious promises for us in California about rain. You know, and one of the things, by the way, that's very, very clear is that rain comes from God. Man, as smart as man is right now, you know, and all the Silicon Valley stuff and all the things that everybody's all puffed up about, man can't make rain. God does. I saw this expert on NPR. He was talking about, well, there's no one way to solve the water crisis in California. And he gave all these things that people are supposed to be doing and all this, don't, you know, kill your lawn and all this stuff. And I, you know, and I said, wait a minute. There's no one thing that'll solve the water crisis. There is. You know what it is? God gives rain. And he does. And he will. We need rain. So he will. But exceeding great and precious promises. You know, how often have you cashed in on, for example, by his stripes ye were healed? You know, something comes to mind, something, a little ache, a little owie, maybe a big ache or owie. You know, by his stripes you were healed. And he keeps confessing it. You keep claiming it. You keep believing it whenever that situation comes to mind. And God will bring his word to pass. This would be a great activity for Hour of Power. This would be a great activity for each of us. Seek the promise of God that meets your need and receive it by believing. Look at Romans chapter 1. The word of God is alive. And it becomes alive when people believe it. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that," what? "Believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know, this is a tremendous verse of Scripture. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation means deliverance. You know, this is a week of deliverance. Well, we're going to get the word. And the word of God is the power of God unto deliverance to everyone that does one thing. What? Believes it. You know, I think the greatest skill that a human being can ever acquire in life is to learn to believe God's word. I think it's the greatest skill you can possibly have. I don't think there's any, you know, advanced degree or any other stuff that... Learn to believe God's word. And when you start believing what God says, God is faithful to bring his word to pass. You know, the word of God is the power of God unto deliverance to everyone that believes. You know, I think of this sometimes as an equation. The word of God believed equals the power of God unto deliverance. So you want to know what the power of God is? Well, start believing the word. Start seeing the power in your life. You know, it's the power to deliver us from any and all of life situations. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, please. You know, we started in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture God breathed. He put His very life into His Word. And all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in right living. Well, here's an interesting verse to compare to 2 Timothy 3:16, because it says in verse 2 of Hebrews 4, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto" who? "Them." Okay, so you got two groups here, right? The us and the them. But there's one thing common to both groups. What is it? That the word was preached. So all of these two groups heard the word of God. But then it goes on to say, "But the word preached did not profit them." One of the groups. Now this doesn't tell us about the us, but it tells us about the them. The word preached did not profit them. Now wait a minute. We saw earlier in Timothy that all Scripture is profitable. But there's something that got in the way of these people being profited by the word. Because it says, "The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with" what? "Faith" or "believing in them that" what? "Heard it." See, the word of God is to be received. We're to get the word of God. However you can get it, get what the word of God says. But then we've got to mix it with believing for the word to be brought to pass. This is how the word of God becomes living and real. This is how it becomes actualized in your life. Is you get the word of God and you start believing it. If there's action to take on the word, you act upon the word. You do what God says to do. Many times the word that you get is just simply to agree with it. Yep, God's right. You know, maybe I was wrong in my thinking previously, so I changed my mind, line it up with what God says. And then look what it says in verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is" what? "Quick" in King James English. You know, what does that mean? If you don't hold on to your Bibles, it can run away? No. The word of God is what? Alive. It's living. It's what we've been seeing. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a critic or a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? Heart. See, God's word is alive and powerful. You know, we want to see the word of God live in our lives. We want to see the power of God unto deliverance in our lives. And the way we do it is by getting the word of God accurately and simply believing it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll close there tonight. This teaching topic, the Word of God is so vast, so all-inclusive that I believe very easily we could teach, many of us could teach for a full week here, and then we could come back and do it for another full week, and we could keep going because of how terrific God's Word is. In fact, many of these things that we're looking at could be a whole week topic for a family camp. That the Word of God is powerful, or that the Word of God is profitable, or that the Word of God is light, or that the Word of God is the many other things that we'll be seeing throughout this week. But the Word of God is God's heart to us. It's the truth of how we're to live our lives. And praise God we've got it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 18, "In everything, give" what? "Thanks." Is there anything excluded? In everything, what? Give thanks. It doesn't say for everything, but it says in everything, give what? "Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So what's the will of God for each of us? To be thankful. You know, to give thanks. But it's a verse like this and many, many others in the Word that can bring us to the conclusion of what's written behind me. That the Word of God is what? The will of God. See, here we get some of the specifics of God's will concerning thankfulness. There's other places that you can read throughout the Word about His will in other categories of life. But the Word of God is the will of God. If you want to know the will of God, what do you need to learn? The Word of God. And then it says in verse 24, it says, "Faithful is he that calls you, who also will," what? "Do it." See, God is faithful to his word. That which he's promised, he will do. The greatest commitment ever made is the commitment that God made to his word. Every jot, every tittle, every little bit of God's word will be brought to pass because God is faithful. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. So as we start to believe God's word and continue to believe God's word, we can be well assured that God is faithful to perform his word. What we're here to do this week, very simply, is we're here to get the word of God into our hearts and believe it. And as we believe it, things will get very, very exciting because God's word is living. God's word is powerful. God is faithful to bring his word to pass. So I'm blessed and privileged to be able to live this week with you in the greatness of God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opening of our family camp tonight and for the awesomeness of your word and all the great things that it is in our lives that we can learn about and grow in, and Father, that we can believe. I pray for enlightened understanding for each one of us, that we can see you working in our lives and what you would have us to do. And Father, that as we stand upon your word, that we know that you are faithful to bring your word to pass. So Father, may this be a great week of your word living and alive in our hearts and of seeing you work as we believe, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.